gotta get you some dance moves.
Oh man, I feel that. Yeah. Welcome to part two of our conversation. We were talking about how do Christians interact with the media, reading, listening, watching. So on this part two, we're going to pick up where we left off with listening and also move into watching.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's talk about listening right now.
Well, you wanted to transition into watching.
No, I don't. Andy doesn't like it when I move in weird directions.
What?
I'm trying to go like through the steps here, like you sit, stand, run. So you read, listen, watch.
Oh, so we're okay to talk about listening.
Yeah, I'm okay to talk about listening.
You're okay. See, you'd think I'd be better at this with the family I grew up in.
We're from the same family in a sense. People have asked if we're brothers.
Well,
I mean, we're not from the same nuclear family. Is that how you say it? Immediate family?
Immediate, I think, is immediate.
We are not relation.
We're cousins. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's the term. That's right.
Biologically. His dad is my uncle.
Yeah, and vice versa.
We could both say that.
Yeah, we can both say that same sentence as we continue to do. So, listening.
Listening.
That's what you're doing right now to us. You're listening to us. Mm. Why? I hope you had a desire to and you weren't forced to.
Well, I hope it's helpful. Yeah,
well,
definitely.
That's the main thing.
Definitely hope that you're not being forced to listen.
So you're listening on a form of media called a podcast. Whether you're listening on the Simplecast website or whether you're on iTunes podcast or whatever. And there are a myriad of these things. So you can get to ours from iTunes. You can get to ours from Spotify, those apps and things. You can get to ours from the church website. There's a link that takes you there. But there's a lot of these things out there right now, and they're huge, and people love them. And people love to listen because they can be doing other things while they're listening.
Yeah.
And especially in this day and age when we are quarantined and people are working from home, they can be working while listening. So they don't have to keep their eyes on the screen, and they don't have to run their eyes over a page. So that leaves their ears open while their eyes and hands do other things. Here comes a podcast. Right?
Yeah.
So we love it. Yeah. And there's all sorts of different ones. There's devotional podcast. There is a really good one out right now, guys, and I want to plug it because it's something that you should listen to. It's called the Gentle and Lowly Podcast. It's produced by Crossway, and I would recommend that you read that. It's a 14-day devotional right now, 3 minutes, and just helps you to move through a thought on Scripture for the day and to send you forth on that. Gentle and Lowly, it's produced by Crossway. I would recommend that as a devotional podcast.
Why is this the first time that I'm hearing of this?
I've just started listening like 3 days ago.
Wow.
And I didn't get word out to you.
No, you didn't. I'm disappointed. I love podcasts.
Love it.
We've talked about reading.
Yeah.
I've said recently, Rachel would back me up on this, podcasts are basically reading with your ears. There are some other, obviously, we've already talked about it. It's important to read, physically read if you're physically capable. But essentially, you are, especially in the like secular realm or even with other things, if you are receiving that information, processing that information from the podcast, you're getting other people's ideas or other people's knowledge, wisdom that God has granted them. Podcasts are amazing to go about your day listening to.
Do you listen to it in the tractor?
All the time. If I don't have something to listen to, like I don't listen to music in the tractor very much anymore.
Yeah.
I have a few podcasts I listen to and books that I listen to.
And here's the interesting thing for interacting with a podcast is we've both had this experience of being in a tractor in a field and listening to a podcast. And when you listen and you're doing some other activity, your mind connects it to that. So I can still think back, Andy, to a specific job in a specific field and what exactly I heard during my time in that field.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing connection to make. I know a lot of you aren't going to be in a field in a tractor and listen to a podcast. But if you're working right now and doing a podcast, you may connect what you heard to what you were doing.
Yeah.
It may help you remember
That just happened to me the other day. Right. I was spreading, and like in the field, there were different spots in the field that I'd come up to and be like, oh, that reminds me of what they were talking about there, or that part of that podcast, or that part of that book. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just thought that's really cool when that happens.
Yeah.
There are podcasts kind of like we do that kind of just gives a theological or current event discussion from a Christian worldview. There's a lot of those out there. We're just one of, I don't know how many good ones are out there.
Gosh. But well, it seems like every day I find something better and better. Are you going to give any shout-outs, any plugs here?
Well, I will. We're pulling up the ones that we're subscribed to. I'll give a shout-out to the Bible Project podcast. I'll give a shout-out to Ask Pastor John. You can do that in podcast format or an app format.
Yeah.
People like Alistair Begg and John MacArthur, and you can listen to those guys on podcast. There's a For the Church podcast hosted by Jared C. Wilson.
Jared C.
That's very good.
Yeah.
What else? What do you think?
Credo podcast. Yeah. Matthew Barrett. He's a professor at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a good one.
Midwestern has solid podcasts.
Yes, they do.
The City of God by Owen Strand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a new one. Midwestern has another new one, This Week in Church History.
Yeah.
With Michael McMullen.
So you mentioned that to me last week, I think. I started listening to it. I really like it.
Yeah.
They've got some audio issues.
Do they?
But the information is great.
You would pick up on that, wouldn't you?
Sorry.
Nine Marks Pastor Talk.
Nine Marks Interviews.
Nine Marks Interviews, yeah.
Those are two solid ones.
So let's talk about, is there any non-Christian podcasts that you find helpful or entertaining in a...
Ag News Daily?
Ag News Daily, definitely.
There's a Jay Sekulow Live. He's an attorney that deals a lot with the American
government. Christian attorney.
Christian, yes, yeah. Christian. But they don't necessarily talk about spiritual things. Jay Sekulow has a Christian worldview, but those are, I think, just helpful.
I'll mention one, Art of Manliness podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So interesting. The stuff he covers, talks to a ton of authors that are writing very interesting books and biographies, have a lot of interesting insight. It's just a really good general info pleasure to listen.
Hmm.
One my dad's really addicted to right now is The Cold War. What We Saw describes the events before, during, and after what led to the Cold War.
Wow.
It's a pretty good history one. The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. He tells, it's kind of like a Paul Harvey format. Do you know Paul Harvey?
Of course I know Paul Harvey.
It's kind of like that Paul Harvey format. He kind of gives you the story, and then at the end he reveals what it's about.
We're from Missouri. We have to know Paul Harvey.
Yeah. The Verdict with Ted Cruz. Definitely kind of a right-wing political podcast with Senator Ted Cruz, kind of gives insights into what happens on the Senate floor and through all this. It's been really interesting. The Ben Shapiro Show. Ben is definitely a great news source, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But folks, I mean, there's a billion out there.
I mean, we should really be ashamed at the resources we have.
It's how do you manage it all? You just find the ones that work for you and you go.
Yeah.
And you don't have to listen to all those.
The thing is, I've found I was overwhelmed when I first started listening and reading and be like, I wish I knew all the great authors. I wish I knew all the helpful articles and podcasts. The thing is, once you start, like, those people help you listen and find other authors that are trustworthy.
Yeah, they point on.
Yeah. I got to go back. You mentioned it, but one that's been so helpful for me and the Lord has used in my growth is the Ask Pastor John podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There are literally thousands of topics that he goes over. People send in hard questions.
Yeah.
And he always answers them scripturally. It's just been so beneficial. They're short. They're 10-15 minutes at the most.
Here's some recent ones. Is it a sin to back out of a commitment? Plan something greater than retirement. How to talk to children about coronavirus. Public, private, online, or homeschool. What's best? RIFV, Babies Knit Together by God Too. So
hard questions.
Great stuff, man. Yeah, yeah. Just something that you... Anyways, check all these out and enjoy it and listen to it at your leisure or while you're working if you can.
Yeah, if you can.
Brings me to my next form of listening, music. Oh. Andy, I wrote down that music may be the soundtrack to life.
I want to sing this song again.
What song?
It's a whole new...
I don't know.
I don't know why that soundtrack comes to my mind every time.
So what do you think?
I like that quote. That's what I think.
I don't know. I'm probably not even the one that started that.
So you're saying you stole it from somebody?
Probably. I doubt I'm the first one to ever say that. And it's probably some really famous quote that I'm just ignorant about.
Like everybody that ever hears this would be like,
that's...
Why do they not know?
Yeah, that's Mark Twain.
What was the question?
What? Oh. Music. How do we interact with music?
With our ears. I think it's kind of the same... It's kind of the same as the way we interact with reading. Obviously, what you take in is going to affect your life, whether you want it to or not. So if all you're reading are horror crime dramas, fictional crime dramas, if all you're reading is secular stuff, then that's what your mind is going to be focused on. Mm-hmm. If all you're taking in from a music standpoint... are secular values, because like it or not, you know what the lyrics are. I've had my parents tell me they remember lyrics from the 70s and 80s for songs that they wish they didn't remember.
Yeah.
And so music has a way of embedding itself in our brains. The way that God has created us to take in music is incredible. Melodies... lyrics, rhymes, for whatever reason, those things get stuck in our head, which is why it's so important for us to sing good songs in corporate worship, theologically rich songs. So there needs to be, in my opinion, a healthy dose of sound theological music that you're listening to. If you're, like, in my opinion, now... Corporate worship can also help supplement that if your music ministry leader is giving you good, deep songs. Those types of things get stuck in your head, and you find yourself singing Amazing Grace throughout the day, right? So that's just things like that. But I have found in my own life, from my own personal examples, if I'm listening to a lot of secular hip-hop or a rock or whatever it may be, those are the topics and the values and the ideals that get stuck in my head. And unless I go to the Word, Scripture, and I ask the Lord to plant deeply into my heart and my mind the truths of His Word, and then go and maybe listen to a few worship songs that are good, rich songs, it's not good for my life if I don't do those things regularly. Now, I'm not saying that listening to secular music is bad. Unless the Lord is convicting you of what you're taking in, what you're hearing, obviously listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if, as a mature believer, you're able to hear and discern, I wouldn't condemn or look down upon. What would you say to that?
Yeah. And I've had this discussion with some people before where they were asked or recommended by a previous church to throw away or destroy some of their secular CDs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, okay. I'm getting a little footloose there. you know, like, it's not the devil. I understand that those people may not have a Christian worldview and all that sort of stuff, but is it leading you astray? Is it damaging your soul? Is it that sort of thing?
Yep.
Is it influencing you for unrighteousness' sake? All that sort of stuff. Are you setting before yourself things that are unholy and unrighteous and impure and stuff like that? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, probably a lot of times we are when we go down that road. But that doesn't mean everything secular is hurting us or hindering our walk. So,
right.
Like my wife listens to a few Billy Joel songs that she really likes. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
I like to listen to One Republic.
One Republic.
From time to time. Now, there's discernment there because I know that what they value and what they're singing about, that's not the goal or the end means for a Christian. Like Christ is our everything. So when somebody's singing about money or anything else, I'll hold the tongue on a lot of those other topics. But if that's why we're focusing on it, if we're letting that change our lives, our language, our thought process, our actions, the way we treat people, and we have to be conscious of that.
Yeah. And so, okay. Say you're at a wedding or you're having your wedding, you know, as a Christian, what type of music are you going to allow, assuming that you allow dancing or whatever? You know, are you going to play some of the hits? Yeah. You're going to, you know, let Footloose run in the back. You're going to let, you know, I know that my wife and I, of an evening, this is going to make us sound really old, but we're not. She's still in her 20s. So take that for what you will. But we'll, you know, we like a little Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
We like a little Nat King Cole.
James Dean. Not James Dean. Dean Martin. Dean Martin.
No, I don't like Dean Martin.
Okay.
Yeah. My wife likes Dolly Parton.
No, that's not okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Nat King Cole. Nat King Cole is good.
Yeah.
So there you go. We listen to secular music on occasion.
As you can tell, it's not like overrunning our listening.
Right. No, I'll admit, I don't listen to it even daily. Like I said, most of what I listen to is podcasts and books, but a lot of worship music is what I'm taking in. Now, there's another genre that's not technically in our culture considered worship music, just kind of this like...
Oh, like Christian, contemporary Christian?
Yeah, contemporary Christian pop or hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't like hip-hop, and that's fine. If it's a personal preference, I get that. If you don't like hip-hop, that's fine. But do not, under any circumstance, call hip-hop the devil's music.
Right.
Because my favorite rapper, KB, is one of the most intellectual and deep theological thinkers as just anybody I've met. And he puts that into musical rhyming. So it's... The devil is not the music, or the music is not the devil. Like mm-hmm. It's the lyrics and the ideas that are being portrayed that can lead people mm-hmm. astray.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great point to make.
And just like we have to be discerning with our books, mm-hmm. we have to be discerning with our music, even so-called Christian music.
Yep.
There's a lot of...
Yeah. Don't think just because somebody says God in a song, like it's something you should listen to.
Right.
I think the most angry I've ever been in the pulpit was talking about a Christian song, because here you're assuming to bring glory to God and sing his praises, and they were, to me, doing the exact opposite and robbing him of glory.
Yeah. I personally don't have a problem with people listening to certain bands. I'm not going to get into that right now, but be discerning, be spiritually mature. If the song is calling more attention to yourself.
Yes.
And focusing on you over Christ.
And this is in the Christian category right now.
Within the Christian category, being called worship music.
Right.
Because within that, they'll call it worship music.
Yeah.
If within that genre, that category, the song focuses more on us and our value rather than Christ and Christ's value.
Yeah, whose glory are we singing forever in heaven?
Yeah.
It's not ours.
Right.
So those songs, I, me, 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 you made me do this. I do this. I do this. Yeah, it's just okay.
Yeah, it's probably not helpful.
I've always wanted to start a like really solid Christian music radio station.
Yeah.
So,
well,
because I don't feel like there's one out there.
It's rough. I don't listen to the radio, so I don't know.
Tsh, radio. Let's move to how we ingest, digest moving media in front of our eyes, watching movies, cinema.
The cinema.
Television programs. How do we interact with those?
Visual media.
Visual consumption.
Consumption of visual consumption.
Let's go with it.
You've got some thoughts. I know you've got some thoughts.
Well, yeah, my thoughts are kind of borrowed from previous thinkers. When watching something, I think the question that we have to put before ourselves, even when we don't want to, we just want to watch it. Uh-huh. Does this do anything for my soul? Does it benefit me in any way? And that is to say that even fictional stories can stir our creativity or reveal the common plight of our fellow man, the common victories of our fellow man, the common history that we all experience. Fictional stories, secular cinema can certainly do that. Secular cinema can even reveal truths about God that they may not have intended to, but because their image is on him, they have a creator, just like I do, same creator, stuff comes out that they may not have intended, but because they're a human made in the image of God. So here's an example, folks, and I'm going to tee Andy up for this. Last year, we did a youth camp for our church down at the Lake of the Ozarks, and one day we had some time, and so Andy and Rachel and my family went to go watch Toy Story 4 just come out. Watched the movie, or I didn't. I had a baby that I had to take out. That always happens when we go to the movies. I don't stay. So later on, we're having a small group study with the guys that came for the camp, and Andy picked out something in Toy Story 4 that I don't know if somebody involved with Toy Story 4 did this, but it was a pretty amazing gospel picture that's theirs. Andy, can you explain that?
Yeah, so in Toy Story, if you've seen it, you know, is it Forky? It's not Sporky. It is a spork.
It's Forky.
But his name is Forky, okay. So Bonnie makes Forky, and because Bonnie made Forky and then wrote her name on his little popsicle foot, he comes to life. Well, since Forky is made out of trash, Forky's idea of himself is that he is trash, that he is worthless, and that he is garbage. And so we see later in the movie, Forky gets taken home, and he continues to throw himself in the garbage, and he loves it. He's like enjoying being, he's anxious and doesn't like being out of the garbage, and he throws himself in the garbage, and he's good with it. And continually, time after time, in order that Bonnie would be happy and enjoy the camaraderie with Forky, Woody, one of the main characters of Toy Story, jumps in the trash and continually throws him out. And we see this kind of time lapse the whole night. Woody is continually getting in the trash and throwing Forky out. And so we connected those with Christ's work in our lives because we were just talking about this morning. It's crazy how the Lord does this. A lot of people say, look at your intrinsic value. Look at how much you're worth. If God would send his son to die for you, you must have something good in you. There must be some reason that God would, like, you're valuable. And yet there's a song that we were singing this morning. It's called My Worth Is Not in What I Own. And it says, two wonders here I confess, my worth and my unworthiness. And our value is, it comes when Christ saves us and puts his name on our foot, so to speak. Our value is not in ourselves or in anything that we've done, but solely based on the work of Christ on the cross. And he reaches into the garbage to pull us out. Even over the life of a Christian, we'll sin. We're prone to wander.
Fall back into the garbage.
Fall back.
Which happens in a lot of Christian lives with some form of media called pornography. They'll fall back, you know, time and time again. And by the grace of God, they'll be pulled back out of that.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect picture of Forky.
Perfect.
Toy Story 4, man. Theological truths that they may or may not have intended. I doubt they intended it.
I had one of my friends, Aaron Chisholm, who was at the camp with us. He texted me recently because they just saw the movie for the first time. He's like, dude, I'm convinced that someone of the Christian faith wrote that movie.
Yeah, there's just too many gospel pictures in there.
Yeah.
So that's a huge one. There was a movie, it's probably a fairly old movie now, called Signs. If you remember that, Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix, some aliens or whatever are coming to Earth, and they have to do something, all right, to get them back. But the whole movie's based on the premise of there being signs. So it starts with crop signs, right? Crop circles.
Okay.
And they're all like, what is this? But the signs that they're pointing to are more than that. So Mel Gibson's a former pastor in the movie. His wife dies on a walk, gets hit by a car, slammed against a tree, pinned there. She's alive until they move the car. So they call him and she's like, we can keep her alive until we have to not. You know, it's a weird situation. Oh. And she says things to him in that last conversation that they have that end up being pertinent to what's coming for them. So she she says a few things that just seem random and disjointed, but they come into play in order to help the family fight off the aliens that come to harvest Earth. Huh. So the things that she said were... So anyways, that just kind of points out, like, there is no coincidence. If God is sovereign, then he'll work things out for our good and for his purposes. So there's things that he's going to do now that are going to come into play later.
Yeah.
You know, there's things he's going to prepare you to do now that are going to come into play later. There's things that you're going to, you know, it's so there was some of that in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of movies that we watch that have something in there that you can see. Yeah. I've found that one of the basic storylines of most movies is good and evil.
Yeah.
I mean, there it is. And what always wins in the end? I mean, they get it right, usually, unless it's a dark,
weird
movie.
Yeah.
I think, like, the recent Joker that came out was just dark. Like, there's no...
Yeah, they were focused on the bad in that one. They made the bad to be the good, which could be... Anyways.
Could be something. Yeah. So you've always got the good and evil. You've usually got a hero. Well, who's that? That's Christ. Mm. So where is this storyline coming from?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so I believe that God has things for his people to meditate on, even in things that they interact with in this world. So it's not that we just, like, throw away. We don't interact with any non-Christian form of media because it's the devil. That's so legalistic. And
yeah.
Jesus prayed in John 17 that God would not take us out of the world, but leave us here as lights and all that sort of thing. Not to be of the world, but just in it.
Right.
Exist.
Right.
So we do that. Andy and I were at a worship conference in Nashville this year called Sing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a really famous composer there who was working with that conference, and he's a born-again Christian, and he has done the work for Avatar.
Yeah.
He's done a few other Disney movies. He's done some big Hollywood pictures like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a born-again Christian interacting with those forms of media to the glory of God.
Yeah.
So we can display his gifts in all these different realms, and he be glorified in that way.
Paul talks about in one of his letters, I forget which one. I feel like it's the Corinthians, but it might not be. Anyways, where he says, I didn't want you guys to totally, like, cut yourselves off from every sinner, because then you'd have to take yourselves out of the world. And so we're not intended to be...
That's where he's talking about the sexual immorality in the church.
Yeah.
And he's saying, what do you have to do with judging outsiders, like,
yes.
Of course, they are sinners. That's what you were, right?
Yeah.
But it's when you become a member, by the grace of God, of this new kingdom community of a holy people who God's creating because he's holy, then there are expectations that you meet. We expect the world to be the world.
Yes.
And this is not our home. This is not our kingdom. We understand that. So we expect that. We expect people in the church who are part of this new kingdom, the kingdom to come, the kingdom that is coming, the eternal kingdom, to act as citizens of that kingdom.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's something we have to keep in mind when we're taking in any kind of secular content or media, understanding that this is, we're taking in the world's ideas, though we should also keep our spiritual eyes open for those ideas that come from the Lord that are reflecting His glory and His creation and redemptive history. We need to be aware of that. And that, I think that adds a whole nother level to entertainment and media that the world doesn't get.
Yeah.
We get that enjoyment, but they don't. Right. So we have to be aware of that.
And we don't want to set unholy things before our eyes. Lauren, who just preached for us, reminded me of that in Proverbs. I think it says, don't set unholy things before your eyes. And then in Philippians 4, it reminds us, you know, think on what is pure and holy and righteous and blameless. So we are to be a holy people in all that we do in interacting with media. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you write off everything that's not demonstrably Christian.
Right. You can't.
No, you can't.
You'd have to be out of the world.
You'd have to be out of the world. You can prohibit many things from coming before your eyes and being in your home, but there's some things that you probably should worry about.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like the Lion King, you know? I've heard people... I don't know. Disney, I don't know. Maybe
they made that out to be, like, bad?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard... yeah. You'd be surprised.
I probably would be. I shouldn't be, but I probably would be. We said we'd talk about Disney a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people point to, maybe you have some more on this, but people point to some of these major companies who have ulterior motives in everything that they do. Perhaps they do, but the discerning mind isn't going to be swept away. They're going to see a children's story about good and evil, a hero, all that sort of thing. And so that's where they'll go. If they want to put in subliminal things in there, you know, I'm sure that that happens.
But. Yeah, I think, though, you've kind of mentioned it. They'll do it without even knowing that they're doing, like, reflecting the story of God, and good and evil. That is in every Disney
movie. And even if some of these corporations try and do things for evil, you know, maybe Toy Story, maybe the intention there was not to display anything about God. Maybe there was something else there that they were trying to do, or not. Maybe they're just making a story. I don't know. But who's to say that God can't work that for His glory?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's, I think when we talk about a lot of media or what we intake, there's a lot of condemnation upon the world that comes from the church, and it, to be honest, gives the church, the real church, a bad rep. We need to, like we've talked about, just expect the world to be the world. We should not be surprised that sinners act like sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We should be surprised at our apathy towards Scripture or our non-desiring hearts for the Lord. But we should not be surprised. Now, that doesn't mean that we abandon them and leave them to it. We've been called to take the gospel.
Yeah, and as citizens of a democracy, we have the privilege to lend our voice to the things that are pure and holy and righteous and blameless. But we, I think, have a great responsibility to, on a one-on-one level, share those things with our neighbor.
Yeah,
you know, instead of picketing on the streets to say, "Oh, you got to shut this down. This, you got to do this." What if you just share the gospel one person at a time?
Yeah.
And maybe it's somebody that works in one of those industries. Maybe it's somebody that has the power to change that. That is more effective, that one-on-one evangelism that Jesus does, as well as speak to the masses when He can. So, I mean, we do all that, but we don't throw a fit because the culture is doing what we don't like as Christians. That's just what we would expect. This is not our home.
No, we need exactly. To remember that. Yeah, we're not citizens. This is not our final destination. Our nation is the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
that's our final.
So, yeah, and that it brings up a good point, and I know we're on media and watching things, consuming, how do we interact with that? But it also is bringing up some other things that are quite interesting to talk about. So Jesus, right? Everybody wants, the Jews want a king to give back Israel, to take Israel back from their oppressors, the Roman Empire. And that's not bad to not want to be oppressed. Like, I get it.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
But there's something else that Jesus came to do. There's a bigger enemy at all times, whether we're under an oppressive government or not.
Yeah.
And so while we may lend a voice against corruption and that which is unjust, we have a greater mission here.
Yeah.
And that is pointing people to the kingdom of God. And we do it the way that Jesus did it. He's not delivering them from the Roman rule, but he's working in the midst of the darkness to bring light. And several people in the Roman government become saved. Kings hear the gospel.
Yeah.
From Paul's lips, Jesus displays salvation and humility and service and redemption to all of those people in the midst of that. God uses the horrific act perfected by the Roman Empire of crucifixion to bring himself glory, and he submits his son to that.
Yes.
So,
I mean, how incredible is our God that all the evil is it's not, and it's, man, I'm going to get on a rabbit trail here. It's not that he says, oh, I didn't think you were going to do that. Well, I'll just kind of change my plans up and use it for good. No, Joseph says in Genesis, you intended it for evil, but God meant it for good. That, like, God meant it, not that he changed his plans to make it good.
Right. That's a fantastic point. All right, well, that's where we're going to end it for now. Definitely there's more to be said about this, but if you have any questions, continue to submit those to us via text, if you know us, also via email, roaringglorypodcast@gmail.com. We'll be checking on a regular, answering those soon. You can also be on the lookout every Monday morning for a new episode. We're glad that you are listening to this. We hope you find it helpful. And please welcome any feedback, subscribe, leave us a review. We're glad to keep this thing going.
Yeah.